Some more signs of economic life.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Welcome to the Morning Open. A quick look at trading in the markets and then some analysis about the economy. We got some economic data today that's giving us conflicting vibes. We'll get to those in just a moment. First, the vibe from the street. Where's Wall Street? Numbers are up right now. The S&P pretty much flat, up about 0.05%. The NASDAQ up about 0.2%, and the Dow pretty much flat at 10,433. European markets tacking on 0.5% or more today, and Asian shares were higher as well. The Shanghai index in China rose more than 2%. Here's some economic news we have this morning. Jobless claims, big ticket goods, personal income and spending. We're going to get the breakdown this morning from Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial. She's with us live from Chicago. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So let's start with first-time unemployment claims. They fell last week to 466,000. Diane, that's the first time under 500,000 since the beginning of the year. So there's this trend of fewer job losses, right? Does that mean the job market's starting to get better?
Well, it means we're firing fatigue is going on out there. We're tired of firing people. We've yet to hire people. And seasonal adjustment added to that. It means that basically the claims weren't as high earlier in the year, and now they're maybe not as low as they look right now. That said, the trend is in the right direction. We still need to get them below that 450 mark to start seeing things tip in the other direction towards job gains rather than job losses.
Yeah, baby steps. U.S. consumer spending was up in October, 0.7%. Incomes rose as well, but not by nearly as much. And it seems like we're spending more than we're making. Is that the way you see it?
Exactly. What we had seen earlier in the year was the saving rate popped up, and now what we're seeing is consumers tap into those reserves of saving to go into the holiday season, and I think that's what we'll see throughout the holiday season. In fact, if we don't see that, the holiday season will be even more dismal than is expected. We're expecting something about flat compared to last year on an inflation-adjusted basis, but that's nothing to write home about given the cliff we fell off a year ago.
Yeah, quickly, durable goods fell about 0.6% in October. Those are your appliances, cars, furniture. Why are people still not spending more money on these big items?
Credit. It's just hard to get credit for the big ticket items. And, you know, really, we're not getting a lot of the housing market, although is limping along. It's not giving the kind of kick that it once did to these furniture, appliances, big ticket sales. In fact, car sales used to go with home sales when people took out their home equity lines of credit to buy the car. That equity ain't there anymore.
All right. Diane Swonk in Chicago. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wall Street's taken a lot of rotten tomatoes lately for its role in the economic meltdown and for the bailouts and the bonuses. So it's no surprise that a group of lawmakers in Congress, mainly liberal ones, want to stick it to Wall Street to get some more money in the coffers to fund job growth and deficit reduction. Marketplace's John Dimsdale is with us live this morning from our Washington Bureau. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Steve.
So what do these congressmen have in mind?
Well, the title of this draft bill pretty much says it all. It's called the Let Wall Street Pay for the Restoration of Main Street Act of 2009. The idea is to tax stock trading, options, futures, derivatives, all of it. And supporters say a quarter of a percentage point tax on trades would raise $150 billion a year for job programs and deficit reduction.
So what kind of reaction is this getting?
Well, there's a lot of concern that taxing trades would be a job killer, not a job creator, that discouraging stock trades would choke off productive investments. Columbia Business School professor John Coffey says it would be a blow to big investment banks.
There is a certain inconsistency in bailing out these companies to save the economy and then turning around and taxing punitively their principal source of revenues.
Hey, John, how about in Congress? I mean, is this bill going to go anywhere?
Well, it's certainly not getting any support from lawmakers from New York or Chicago because they worry that the trading business will just go overseas. So it really isn't moving much and probably won't this year.
All right. Marketplace's John Dimsdale live with us from Washington. John, thanks.
Thanks.
More details are expected later today on Toyota's plans to replace gas pedals on nearly 4 million recalled cars here in the United States. That's to address problems with sudden acceleration and getting stuck with the floor mat. One temporary step is to have dealers shorten the length of the gas pedals beginning in January and then develop replacement pedals beyond that.
You're
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Wednesday, November 25th, 2009, at marketplace.org. General Motors will decide next week what to do with its Swedish unit Saab. GM had a deal to sell the money-losing Saab, but that fell through yesterday. More from Marketplace's European correspondent Stephen Beard in London.
GM has three options: to find another buyer for Saab, to close it and let the brand die, or to keep it. Another buyer would be the best option for GM. Saab has lost money for 19 of the past 20 years, and GM has a lot on its plate now that it's decided to keep its other loss-making European operations, Opel and Vauxhall. But if another buyer does not materialise, some analysts here say GM is in the mood to hang on to its Swedish brand. Professor David Bailey of Coventry University.
Let's not forget that GM has come out of Chapter 11 bankruptcy. It's wiped off a lot of debts. It's very much rejuvenated. It's got an appetite again for turning around its European operations, and it might still see Saab as part of that.
He says Saab is an attractive upmarket brand which could have a growing appeal in emerging countries, but he concedes making Saab profitable will be a Herculean task. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Legislation to use market forces to reduce carbon emissions is stuck in Congress, but some states are already out in front with their own market-based programs. And with the economy in the dumps, they have even more reason to rev things up, as Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
10 states in the Northeast have already banded together to form a regional cap-and-trade program. They've set a limit or cap on total carbon emissions from power plants. The plants can then buy and sell permits, allowing them to release greenhouse gases. The idea is that plants that reduce their emissions quickly can sell their permits to those that can't cut emissions as fast. The permits are sold at auction, and the individual states get the money. Terry Tamminen of Seventh Generation Advisors says for some states, that money couldn't come at a better time.
So in the case of New York, as an example, they, of the recent auctions, were able to get about $200 million, and Governor Patterson carved off about $90 million of that to help balance his state budget.
Other states could start to see similar income. Two groups of states in the West and Midwest are trying to ramp up their own cap-and-trade programs. Barry Rabe teaches public policy at the University of Michigan. He says these regional efforts could eventually form one big carbon market.
In fact, there has been pretty active conversation, even to the point of shuttle diplomacy, between some of these states and regional leaders.
And it's not just U.S. states eager to take part. He says some Canadian provinces and Mexican states are involved in the talks as well. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
'Tis that time of year when charity groups ramp up their efforts to raise money, but New Yorkers may be in less of a giving mood after some news this week. The New York Attorney General is suing a well-known group that claims to raise money for the homeless. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
New Yorkers know the pitch well. A man or woman in a red apron stands at a card table with a giant water jug collecting money for the homeless.
Pay one penny, a penny, a penny, a penny. Help make a difference.
Lose but New York Attorney General Andrew Cuomo announced this week that the United Homeless Organization is a fraud. Cuomo says the group doesn't provide any actual services to the homeless. Collectors pay a fee to rent the table. They get to pocket any donations. Cuomo says the group's bosses use the fees to fund personal expenses like Weight Watchers bills and splurges on the Home Shopping Network. Mary Brosnahan directs the Coalition for the Homeless. She says the news could have a chilling effect on donations to legitimate groups.
It's always a concern when there is some scandal uncovered, but I think that folks in the know are savvy enough to go to websites that actually rate charities, and they can tell you where your money's actually going to.
Brosnahan says giving has held up in the recession, but she says the need is greater. Her group says the number of homeless people in New York City shelters has hit an all-time high. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Retail heavyweights Amazon and Walmart are locked in a race to the bottom of the price list. That may be good news for consumers, but it doesn't look good for retailers who are trying to keep pace, as Joel Rose reports.
The online price war started earlier this year with books. Walmart dropped its prices to $9 for some popular hardback titles. Amazon went to $8.99, and every other bookstore went into shock. Now Walmart and Amazon are sparring over the price of DVDs, toys, and electronics.
For both of them, it is really about the future of shopping, and it's about the new shoppers who are going to come along and for whom, you know, online is just second nature.
Wendy Liebman is CEO of WSL Strategic Retail. She says Walmart and Amazon both want a bigger share of the growing e-commerce market. Liebman says the price war could help both companies gain market share at the expense of everyone else.
You kind of come to a point where you've got major brands, big companies, big retailers still standing,
and a lot of smaller retailers out of business. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
So tomorrow's the National Day of Engorging, and I suspect there have been a few references to food magazines over the last few days. Readers looking for ideas about the family feast. Seems there's been a lot of pain in the magazine industry of late, but a consortium of publishers want to get more readers to their content online. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins now with how they're going to do it.
It's being called iTunes for Magazines. Sorry, folks, no one's going to read your favorite titles to you. Instead, there are reports a group of publishers is creating an online newsstand to give readers an easy way to get electronic versions of the glossies. The publishers include the biggest names in the industry, Condé Nast, Time, Hearst. They want to make magazines readable on various platforms, smartphones, on e-readers. But many of the publications have been free online for some time. Will people pay? George Brock teaches journalism at City University London.
Well, if the magazines aren't made available any longer for free, then some people will pay. The issue is how many people are going to pay, and perhaps even more importantly, how much they're going to pay.
He says publishers have to find a way to make money from their online content. After all, their circulations are sagging. Both Condé Nast and Time announced layoffs earlier this year. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, this holiday, how about a gift of pain? The Swedes have been raving about this new type of mattress pad that's supposed to get and produce great results. It features plastic spikes. Yes, it's like a bed of nails. The New York Times says there are at least a dozen such products online, including the Shakti and the Svenska Spikmatten. And when set upon a mattress, the area becomes a $100 zone of ouch. Promoters say discomfort lasts only a few minutes, give or take 10. But then the body's endorphins kick in. They say the pad helps the body to relax and aids in sleep. But some scientists question the method. They say hitting your hand with a hammer also causes pain and releases endorphins. But, well, you get the idea. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.